Well, this is going to be like a little preemptive of family camp. I'm working on a teaching that Sid asked me to do about not thinking evil. So you can take your Bibles and go to James chapter 1. And obviously, when you think about not thinking evil, we've all been around for a while. It's a function of the renewed mind. It's not any great mystery here. But it's nice to find out what we are to think and what we're not to do and what we are to do. So, and the Bible is very specific, because God is very gracious, as he said in Manifestations, and he's very merciful. And he gives us instruction and wise counsel in his word. And in James chapter 1, verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness. He doesn't change, neither shadow of turning. There's not even a shadow, with God. He doesn't even cast a shadow. That's how he is the Father of light. Okay? So, all good comes from God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Any questions? Everybody good with that? Okay. Now, go to John, Gospel of John, chapter 8. Jesus Christ, in his ministry, exposed the devil to mankind. And we're all familiar with John 10:10, where he clearly, specifically points out that the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But on the other hand, he was come that they might have life and have it more abundant. Quite the contrast. In John 8, he's confronting the religious leaders of that time, and he makes a stark contrast between our father and their father. Pick it up in verse 42. It says, if God were your father, ye would love me. Jesus Christ talking. That's why it's in red letters. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my words? Ye are of your father, the devil. Okay? Geez, he beat around the bush, huh? That's very politically correct.
Yeah.
And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Wow. Father of light, father of lies. Okay? Pretty interesting. Now, this is something that's going to help you remember this. Okay? So just bear with me here. Here's God. Everyone see God? Okay? Now, if you put another O in that, it's going to be good. Right? Okay? This is very simple. Okay, now, everyone see this? This is the devil. Okay, now, if you take the D out, what do you have?
Evil.
Okay, so God?
Good.
Devil?
Evil.
God?
Good.
Devil?
Evil.
See, I knew you guys. You guys, that's awesome. So, that's just a little something to help you remember, because I don't want anyone getting confused. Okay, because we don't need that. 1 Peter, chapter 3. So now knowing this, what the heck are we supposed to do? And you see, as I said, God is a wonderful, gracious Father, and he's very specific. He lets us know, well, this is what you do. And there's some very specific things here.
A word?
1 Peter, chapter 3. Peter. He must have been English. Verse 8. It says, finally, be you all of one minded. Okay, in other words, be like-minded. Have compassion one of another. So we're to be compassionate one to another. We're to love as brethren. Be pitiful, and that's kind of old English. It means to be tender-hearted one towards another. Okay, and it says, be courteous, and that means to be humble-minded. If you're sitting there saying, Jay Weir, I've been around forever. You're not going to teach me anything. That's not humble-minded. Okay? That's the opposite. Okay? We're to be humble-minded. We look to learn from each other. We look to help each other. We realize we don't know all the answers and that we need each other. Okay? But we know who does. And we're not to render evil for evil, you know? If I hurt you, your response shouldn't be, well, I'm going to sock that guy, you know, or knock him out or something, but you should correct me, you know, with the word, okay, and help me out. Say, hey, you know, you injured me there, you know? Or railing for railing. You know what that means? Anyone, I'm in the scrap business. Wrote iron railing? No. Has nothing to do with it. It means insults, to insult each other.
Back and forth, right?
Right. You don't, like, you know, we don't have a place for that in the body of Christ, okay? We're people, okay? And we're going to offend each other from time to time. I grew up in a different neighborhood than you did, okay? The Bronx is vastly different than the middle of Kansas, okay? And we may have different colloquialisms or different things, and I may offend you at times, and some things you may do may offend me. But you know what? You got to get past that. We got eternity together. There's no room for grudges. Because if the devil can get us fighting amongst each other, he's won.
Right.
Okay? He's won. We need to fight against him. Okay? Not amongst each other. We're to walk in love. We're to be courteous. We're to be compassionate. You know, we're to be loving. So that comes down to it, just being loving. You know?
What would Jesus do?
But not insult for insult, but contrary-wise, or in other words, blessing one another. We should look to bless each other, you know? I'd much rather hang out with someone that wants to bless me than, you know, insult me. I can get that all day long. Knowing that you are there unto call, that you should inherit a blessing. Remember, I don't know who used to teach this, but they used to talk about our children, that when our kids come home, that should be the greatest place for them, because they're out in the world all day long, they're getting beat up, you know? School's tough, especially girls, man. Girls can be tough on each other. I used to watch that in school. I'd be like, man, I'm glad I'm a guy. I mean, they can be really rough on each other, you know? You know, when your kids come home, just love them up, you know? So I just thought of that, hit my head. So anyway, so we're to be a blessing one to another, you know? The heck with this evil stuff. Let's go to Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians. So good stuff. Thank you, God. Thank you for that instruction. So it's just simple stuff. It's not, none of this is difficult. You know, you don't have to have a degree in electrical engineer and not be an electrician. The two of them here, I had to say that. And in case that didn't hit you the first time, look at verse 15. It says, see that none render evil for evil. God's saying it a second time. Okay, and that means it's established. You know, in other words, you just, you know, we're not to walk that way unto any, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all. So we're to be loving first and foremost in the family, but also to all mankind, to everybody. You know, if we're going to win people for Christ, you know, you're not going to do it by, you know, well, you lousy unbeliever, you know, you believe in Buddha? You know, Jesus, you don't insult people. You teach them the word. You know, you love them up. You bring them in. You let them read your life. You know, you give them the word. But you know what people are going to see? They're going to see your love. They're going to see your walk.
Right.
That's what's going to draw people. You know, when I got in the Word of God, it wasn't that the people were that great, but I saw that love. I saw that closeness, that heart that they had, that compassion they had. And I never saw anything like that before in my life. And I was like, man, I want that. I want that. And the only place I ever saw that was within the Christian believers and the fellowships. I'd been in church all my life. I saw the opposite. I saw the insults. I saw, you know, the hypocrisy. You know, this one's getting drunk, drinking the wine behind stage and everything else. I'm like, what the heck, you know? But amongst the believers, man, I wanted that. I wanted to have what they had. So pretty cool. So that's what draws people. So we're not to be like that. We're not to, you know, throw insults at people. And verse 22 says, abstain from all appearances of evil. You know, if you know something that's going to bug somebody, you know, the Romans 15 talks about it. You know, we're not supposed to throw stumbling blocks in each other's way. You know, just don't do it when you're around that person. You know, Don't smoke around me. I have asthma. It's not going to affect me otherwise, but just threw that out there. But, you know, if you know someone's got a problem with something, just don't do it. It's that simple. That's what abstain means. You know, you just don't do it. You're temperate. You're controlled. You're self-controlled. Let's go into the Old Testament. Look at some cool stuff. Let's look in Job. Oh, there's a book we don't go to. Job 28. And the nice thing is that I did this all in order, so we're not have to keep going back and forth and back and forth. We're going to just go nice and progressive through the Old Testament. But just some neat stuff. Because walking in love never changes, you know. Being loving and being compassionate and not thinking evil, it's just the same back in the Old Testament. You know, people didn't change. Covenant changed, but not us people. We're a family now. Verse 28, it says, in of 28, chapter 28, verse 28. Okay? Job. Okay. And unto men he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that's wisdom. So, you want wisdom? You respect God. You have great awe for God. And to depart from evil is what?
Understanding.
Wow. So departing from evil gives you understanding. Because you're applying God's word. And as we apply God's word, we will get great understanding. You know, if you're not doing God's word, why is he going to work with you? Why is he going to teach you if you're, you know, not doing the simple stuff? You know? Now, that he can go beyond his word, and I understand that, but, you know, the simple stuff. Let's go to Psalm 34. So abstaining from evil is understanding. That's good to know. Verse 14, it says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And, you know, that's a little politically incorrect. Just don't do it. Wait, don't I need rehab first? You know, don't I need some counseling? You know, shouldn't I go through like 6 weeks training program or something? No, you just don't do it anymore. If you know something's wrong, you know what you do?
Don't do it.
It's that simple. You know, you don't give a heroin addict methadone. Then he gets addicted to methadone. It's stupid, you know. You just stop doing it. It may be hard, but you break that habit pattern, you change. And you know what you do? You got to replace it with something. God just doesn't say, depart from evil. He says, do good. Do good. Instead, seek peace and pursue it. Pursue the things. You know, pursue means to chase after it. You know, chase after stuff that is good. Pursue it. That's what we need to do in life. You know, we endure. The rest of the stuff is right out of 1 Peter again. The eyes of the Lord. We didn't read that, but that's where it's quoted right after where we started in 1 Peter 3. Psalm 37. See, it's real simple. The word is simple. The world is complex. You know, they're going to tell you, you got to do this, you got to do that. You know, if you're going to get over this, you got to, man, you're going to have to wean off of that, or you're going to have to do this, or, and just don't do it anymore. Replace the habit. Do something instead. Do something godly instead. Verse 23 of Psalm 37. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Isn't that cool? Mm-hmm. And he delights in his way. You know, because we have a delightful God. And you know, God delights in us too when we delight in him. Though he fall, and you all will, and you know what? We're going to continue to. I make mistakes every day. All the time. I'm really good at it. Okay? But, you know what? I don't kick myself when I fall. I dust myself off. I say, God, I'm sorry. I get back up and I keep trucking. That's the difference. Okay? He shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And God will. You know, if you need help doing something, ask him. God, help me. You know, that's why we pray, right? I kind of think that's part of it. Ask God for help. You know, if you really have difficulty, go to someone you respect, you know, that you and ask them, I really have a problem in this area. Can you help me? You know, can you, and let them show you in the Word what to do. Okay, because that's where we go. We're not going to a psychiatrist or, you know, some wacko counselor out here that's going to give us some world knowledge. You know, if it works, it's probably because it's based on this. All right, that's the only thing that's going to work. Okay, but we go amongst the body of believers, and we get the answer here. Okay. Verse 25, it says, I've been young, and now I'm old. Right, Janet? Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You know, what a merciful God. He is ever merciful, and he lendeth, his seed is blessed. Depart from what?
Evil.
And who's evil from? All right, very good. So you guys remembered. I'm proud of you. And do good, and dwell forevermore. Says, for the Lord loveth judgment, and that's justice. He loves justice, and he forsakes not his saints. They are preserved for how long?
Ever.
And the seed of the wicked, what's going to happen to them?
Cut off.
That's right. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein. The mouth of righteousness seeketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. Why? Because he took time to put it there. Okay, it's not something that's going to happen overnight, Christopher. Okay, your mom and dad didn't get as awesome as they did overnight. It took years. Okay, it did.
Right.
It took a long time.
It does.
And you have to understand that. But you know what? You take the first step, and then the second step, and then the third. The next thing you know, it's a habit, and it's not even hard to do. You know, it's just like, this is the way I can conduct my life. And people are like, well, that's odd. You know, why do you do it that way? Well, because you know what? The scriptures tell me that's the way to do it. And that's why. The law of his God's in his heart. None of his steps shall slide, because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Pretty deep. What a God, huh? This is so difficult. I hope you guys are getting this. No, it's simple, see? The word's simple. Proverbs chapter 3. The world makes life difficult. Sound knowledge is simple. It's easy to be entreated. Verse 7, it says, be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord, or reverence God, and depart from evil. I think I could do that. Tough. Chapter 16. Verse 6, it says, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. Mercy and truth purge iniquity. Iniquity is sin, okay? What's truth?
The word.
The word's truth, right? Jesus Christ said that. Thy word is truth. So by that, that's how we get rid of iniquity in our life. We replace it with godly habit patterns. And by reverencing God, we depart from evil. In other words, not my way, O Lord, thy will be done. You know, what can I do for you today? Not what can you do for me? Verse 17, this is a cool one. It says, the highway of the upright. Now, there's a road I want to be on. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil, and he that keepeth his way preserves his life. That's what his soul is. He that keeps that road going preserves his life. You know, pretty neat. Good stuff. Let's look at Isaiah. One more in Isaiah. Then we'll get back to the New Testament. I love the Old Testament. There's some good stuff here. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah this, you say that. Let's all say the same thing. I'm sorry. I grew up in an Italian neighborhood. Okay, sorry if I insulted anybody there. See, I told you I'm not perfect yet. Dear God, I know. Stella's not here. We're okay. Verse 16, it says, "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil." You know, he doesn't say, you got to do step A, step B, step C. You got to go through the 12-step program here. No, just don't do it anymore. And what you do then is you, verse 17, learn to do well. Ha! Wow, that's difficult. Learn to do something, that, you know, replace it with something. Replace it with what God would have you do. Seek judgment, again, justice. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widows. You know, we're to help each other out. Help each other out. Walk in love. Be compassionate. Galatians chapter 5. Told you we're going back to the New Testament. I was going to look at Philemon with you guys today, but we're not going to do it. We ain't got enough time. But read that book someday. You really see how a man changed and how another believer went to bat for another believer. Pretty neat. Galatians 5, verse 13. It says, "For brethren," that's us, the body, "you've not been called... ye have been called unto liberty." Wow. "Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh." You know, just because we walk in freedom in Jesus Christ, hey, I'm going to go out and raise hell. No, that's not it, you know. We weren't called. Our calling isn't to go out and raise hell, you know. Hey, yeah, you made it. You're going to heaven regardless, so just do whatever the hell you want now. No, that's not it. Now we're to serve God, you know. We made a commitment to God. You accepted the reins. You handed the reins to Jesus Christ. You said in your heart that he was Lord in your life. And when you said that, you said, okay, you direct my path. Okay, you show me the right way. You know, I'm not driving this boat anymore. So we don't, you know, go nuts. But by love, we serve one another. We look to bless. Okay, we look to take care of one another. "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this," and then they list seven. What the heck is that? "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself," and that word is love. "But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one another." See, we're not, you could destroy people and just destroy their hearts by, you know, bad-mouthing people and gossiping. And we don't have time for that, you know. You got a problem, you got to work it out with folks. Don't hold grudges. You know, I had a problem with bitterness. I remember Sid teaching here one Sunday, and I got so delivered by that teaching, and I didn't even realize I had a problem with bitterness, but it was there. And I thanked him afterwards, and I've never allowed that back in my life. And it was just something that happened that I was carrying with me, and it was eating at me. You know, but you got to dismiss that. You can't keep that. It's like it just eats at you. It's no good. It's like gangrene. Nothing good about it. Romans chapter 12. Got to go to Romans. We're going to end in Romans. And this is the beginning of the practical application to the church. After looking Romans 1 through 11, you see all the great stuff that God's done through you, through your son Jesus Christ, and how Abraham's the father of believing, and how, you know, God planned everything for us so that we can have the new covenant in Jesus Christ, and how we can walk uprightly. Now, what do we do? You know, and this is part of presenting our bodies a living sacrifice to God. Verse 9 says, "Let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil." You know what it means to abhor? It means to avoid it at all cost. Whatever it takes, just you stay away from it. I was thinking about this when I first got into Word. I hung out with a lot of wacko people. I really did. I mean, they were nuts. And we used to do some crazy stuff. But you know what? When I got into Word, I stopped hanging out with those people. You know why? Because it says in Corinthians that evil communications or evil companions corrupt good morals.
Right.
And someone had the love to show me that and said, you know, if you keep hanging out with these guys, the devil's going to take you out. He probably would have, because these guys were nuts, and half of them are dead. But you know what? You learn. So I knew what they were doing was evil, and I avoided it at all cost. But it says to cleave to that which is good. You know what that word cleave is? I'm a metal guy. That means to weld, right? That means to, and you know what's neat about metal? If you take two pieces of metal, and you got one here and one there, and you run a weld down the middle and it's done right, that weld is stronger than those pieces of metal. That's pretty neat. It'll bend everywhere else but that weld. So we're to cleave. We just grab hold of it and never let go. Don't let anyone talk you out of that word of God. You just hold on to it, man. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. And you know what? I prefer to hang out with believers now instead of those crazy people. They're crazy. The world's crazy. Stay away from them. It's pretty neat. Let's go down to verse 17. It says, recompense to no man evil for evil. You know, we just don't do that. We don't throw insult to insult. We don't pay people back. It's not our place. You know, that's what recompense means. You're not to avenge yourself. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it's possible. And sometimes it isn't. Sometimes it ain't. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And then it says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath, for it's written, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord. And in the end, the laundry will get done. Wherefore, if thy enemy hunger, you feed him. If he thirst, you give him the drink. You know, you overcome evil with good. That's what this is talking about. For in so doing, you're going to burn him's ass. No, that's not what that means. You heap hot coals of fire on his head. You'll warm that person's heart. You'll change his heart. You know, and that's what we're trying to do with life, right? Is reach out to the lost and bring them back to the Lord. That's why it's a ministry of reconciliation. Bring them back to God. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome or conquer evil with good. And God made us more than conquerors, right? Through him that loved us. Let's continue to overcome with that love. All right? So, Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for how good you are. And thank you that not even a shadow of darkness is in you, God. That we can go to you and with humble hearts, God, and just love you dearly and look forward to every day with you. And for an awesome day today for everybody and a great night's sleep and a wonderful week. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen.